You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
As I'm sure you're aware, Robert Wagner has had a 60-year career as a leading Hollywood actor. He's also written a number of books. His last was all about being on the inside of the glamour of Hollywood's golden age. And now he's back to talk about his personal experiences with some of the greatest female screen personalities of all time, including Katharine Hepburn, Sophia Loren, and Marilyn Monroe. His book, I Loved Her in the Movies, is published by Viking, and I'm very pleased to welcome Robert J. Wagner back to our show. Welcome back.
Thank you very much, Leonard. It's a pleasure to be here.
You write that there's something profoundly feminine about the movies. Haven't men dominated the movies?
Well, in some respects, yes, but then women took over, you know, and the great leading ladies came on, and you can't be a leading man without a leading lady.
Your previous books were memoirs. Would you say that in this one you don't have a leading role?
Well, you know, Scott Eyman and... we've written, this is our third book together.
I should have said written with the help of Scott Eyman. He gets credit on the cover.
That we collaborated on. And he has such knowledge of the motion picture industry and the people that are in it and such wonderful professional back life to do with them. And, you know, I'm just so grateful that I, and so fortunate that I met a lot of these women and worked with them. And we started talking about... an idea of doing a book like this that would be a tribute to these lovely ladies and who gave us all so very much. So we put together about three ladies and wrote some material and presented it to our literary agent, Mort Janklow, and he responded to it very positively. And then we gave it to Viking, who published our last book, and Rick Cott, our editor. He responded to it, so we then got together and started to put this book together.
You expanded it a lot further.
Yes.
Each chapter represents a different decade. Mm-hmm. How did you decide on which decade to place the actresses you focused on? Someone like Betty Davis or Joan Crawford in a lot of decades.
Yeah, well, Betty Davis and Joan Crawford really came up in the, they really made their mark in the late 30s and early 40s. And, they were magnificent leading ladies and did many, many movies and made a great impression on all of us. I mean, their behavior and their ability as actresses and what they performed, I mean, they made tremendous impressions upon my life.
You say in your introduction that this book might sound more like a collection of love letters than anything else.
Well, it is a, yeah.
It's not a book of gossip.
No. It's a tribute. It's a tribute to all of these wonderful women and an accolade to them and what they gave us all.
Don't actors often really fall in love, a reason that so many Hollywood marriages didn't last long?
I think that's a possibility. I mean, I think it's very, I think it would be very easily to fall in love with any of these actresses that are in this book.
Didn't everyone who worked with Audrey Hepburn have a crush on her?
Absolutely, and I'm one of the major ones, believe me.
When I met Audrey, Leonard,
I mean, she was so extraordinary because she reflected everything about her was reflected in her life, her flower arrangements, her decor, the fabrics that she chose, her furniture, her home, her dogs. I mean, everything reflected from Audrey. She was a most extraordinary person.
You also point out that although they may have had great careers, their lives weren't always as glamorous as we would have liked.
Well, Leonard, you know, they had to give up a lot. I mean, and also in those early days, they were working 6 days a week, doing movie after movie. I mean, there's so many movies that Betty Davis made that some of us have never seen. Do you know? I mean, they just went from one picture to another, to another, to another.
That's because of the studio system?
Yeah, and they worked them hard, you know. They created projects for them, and they had to be available, and they were available because they were under contract to the studio, and the producers used them. But, you know, I think they had to give up a lot because it's hard to be a wife and a mother and work those many hours and have that kind of commitment. And I think that's a difficult thing to deal with.
And then if you're someone like Joan Crawford, you have to deal with the fact that your daughter is unhappy with the way you brought her up and writes a book.
Yeah, that must have been a killer for her. I know it was for Betty. When that book that her daughter wrote about Betty, that was a very disastrous thing for her. It was emotionally truly crushed her. Yeah.
Well, we're talking about people who have had complicated lives, complicated psyches. We can't expect them to have been the same people we saw in the movies. I've always wondered what happened when a young woman met Cary Grant. How did she, or met you for that matter, how did they separate the fantasy? And I guess we could reverse it. When you met Marilyn Monroe or any of the great women that you write about here, how do you separate the fantasy you've developed about them based on the roles that they played from the real person?
Well, I think that's a difficult thing to do, but it's also difficult for them because they're wondering, are they really responding to me, or are they responding to the atmosphere that's been created around me? And what I am is a star, STAR, you know? And I think that validation is something that's very hard to achieve because is he really being honest with me, or
Is he playing Cary Grant, or is he really, is this
right.
who he really is?
Yeah, I think that's a difficult thing.
Do you think things have changed over the years?
No, I don't think so very much. I think, you mean in the industry? Technically, yes, very much so. But I think basically it's very much the same. You know, people looking for the right project, the right kind of part for a person, for an actor, and putting together all of the components that make a movie. I mean, it's magic when it works. You know that. We've both been exposed to some very, very magical moments on the screen. But they're difficult to find. And now even more so with the technology, I think. You know, it's separated a lot of the emotional responses.
There are still complaints from actresses about unequal pay. Do actresses have it harder than actors?
I think that actresses do have it harder than actors, very much so. I think they have more of an obligation to a project. I think they are put upon to have their beauty be right, or their costumes be right, or the hair and makeup, and you know, it's a very difficult profession, and very, very, very difficult for women, more so than for men, I believe.
I'm speaking with Robert J. Wagner, who with Scott Eyman has written I Loved Her in the Movies, Memories of Hollywood's Legendary Actresses, in this case, Real Memories, because is everyone you write about here someone you worked with or at least knew?
Well, I never worked with Kay Francis. Hmm. I never worked with Jean Arthur. I never worked with Betty Hutton, although I did meet her. Not all of them, but most of them I've worked with and known personally, yes.
And when you were working, was there a moment when you realized that it was particularly difficult for women?
Well,
there was the casting couch stuff and all of those things.
Well, I mean, that's kind of normal, you know. I mean, I think for beautiful women, you know, they're hit on all the time, right? I mean, that's something that's... But, you know, generally, it's just emotionally, and for them to get prepared and be put upon, and it's a man's world. I mean, it's... they're in men control the business, and it's very difficult for them to step up and say, I believe in this, I want to do that, and they can be referred to very quickly as somebody who's very difficult to deal with, and how do we deal with it? You know, it's one of those things.
Did we come to a point where talent became more important than just being beautiful?
I think both of them are very important.
Even today?
Oh, yes.
And what about for men? Aren't looks really important for male actors? I think about somebody like your friend John Derrick or Robert Taylor, Tony Curtis. James Dean was a great actor, but he also was extremely good-looking.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't exactly bad-looking yourself.
Well, thank you, Larry. That's very nice of you. Well, I think that, you know, there's difficulty with actors and what they're trying to achieve. And sometimes they're looked upon as if they're very, very handsome and very good-looking and very beautiful, they don't have any talent. And that's not exactly true. There's some beautiful women who have a great deal of talent. and hasn't been discovered or realized in their profession, that have been thought of as, you know, just a glamour girl. For instance, Lana Turner. I mean, and she's on the cover of the book. You know, that's we picked that one little short photograph of her. And just,
well, the bottom of her nose and her lips,
yeah,
anyway.
That, you can tell. If you're a Lana Turner fan, you know that it's Lana. But, you know, she did some really good work, some very fine work, but she was always thought of as a sex symbol. Marilyn, I mean, look at some of the things that Marilyn Monroe did. You know, Misfits, she was marvelous in that picture. Mm. She was marvelous. She had a great deal of talent, and to be regarded mostly as a sex symbol rather than a actress and a woman that has the depth and the quality to be able to expose that. I mean, both of those women, they did some fine work.
Well, the case of Lana Turner, wasn't she discovered in a drugstore?
That's the story, fountain? Yes.
So that undermined the sense of her as somebody who really became a star because of her craft.
Well, I don't know, maybe at that time it was very important. You know, I mean, it worked for her, you know, and she, when she hit the screen, I mean, that was magic. I mean, there was a lot of sparks came out of that. She was absolutely fantastic.
You say that movies today are made for the eyes of teenage boys.
Mm-hmm.
So things haven't changed all that much.
Well, yeah, but the teenage boys have got different things in their eyes today, you know, than what I had in mine. My eyes came out of my head when I saw Maureen O'Sullivan in Tarzan, you know, with the loincloths. I mean, I was over the roof about that.
And what do you think the kids are seeing today?
Well, I think they're seeing a lot of action, a lot of CGI, a lot of technical aspects of movies that create tremendous sounds or violence, or, you know, it's kind of a different look. You know, when I was sitting in the theater looking at Lana Turner, I was not thinking about action films.
But today, many people would argue that television has taken over the role that those movies that you liked when you were younger, well, would have provided.
You know, Leonard, there's an awful lot of good writing going on, and it's on television with, I mean, they're making some great things on television.
You haven't done exactly poorly in recent years on television.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I've had some good breaks. I've been doing NCIS, and it's been written very well for me, and the character I like very much, and I'm back on it this year. They brought me back, and I love doing that show, and it's run so well, and the people care so much about it. It's run like a family, you know.
And you've called that role on the show one of the highlights of your career.
Yes, that's true.
Although you're not on the show this week.
I was on last night, as a matter of fact. Oh. You know, I was on that show last night. They pulled that show twice. They pulled it for the election, and they pulled it for the World Series, and they ran it last night. I didn't have a chance to see it, but that was the last one I did, and I'm going to be doing another one in December with them. But I love that company because they all care about each other. It's run very well. It's been on the air now for 13 years. Mark Harmon runs that company in such a fantastic way, and they all care about each other. We all have great feelings for each other, and the characters are resolved and handled in a very beautiful way.
Which, of course, is very different from the way movies were made in the past, because in the studios, you would get a director, and then they'd put together a cast, and you'd make the movie, and then that would be the end of that. Once in a while, you worked with the same people on another film.
Yes, that's true, but...
Did you like that, the idea that you constantly have facing new challenges?
No, I liked staying with the regular people all the time, with the company. You know, I was brought up in that. I was brought up in that by being under contract to 20th Century Fox, and I was just a young man when I first started out. I was under contract to them when I was 18, and we believed in the company. We believed in the people, and everybody was there to help you and make you go forward. I like better being with a family idea. We'd had that on Heart to Heart when I, you know, Stephanie and I were together for 5 years on that with Lionel Stander, and we loved coming to work. It was our passion, and it was a wonderful thing. I like that better than bouncing around.
Although you say that some of the people you worked with early in your career or you met really gave you good guidance, Norma Shearer, Katharine Hepburn.
Mm-hmm. They did. I met Norma Shearer when I was 7 years old. I didn't.
You didn't work with her.
No, I didn't work with her. I would have.
But she was the first movie star you say you met.
I ever met. Yeah, I went to school with her son, and her husband was the head of MGM Studios, and she was doing Marie Antoinette at the time, and I didn't know who Marie Antoinette was. Mm-hmm. I didn't know who Norma Shearer was.
And you didn't know, you say, what a movie star was.
I didn't know what a movie star was, but boy, I'll tell you, her presence and the feelings in that room were just something that just drew me a whole new picture on life, believe me.
People often talk about whether a couple in a film had chemistry or not. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you thought a lot about that. Are you aware of it while it's happening or not happening?
You can sometimes be aware of it. The rhythm, maybe, you know, can work. But I think that it's kind of magic when it happens. You know, like, for instance, with Stephanie and myself when we were doing Heart to Heart, I always felt that she was the right person to play Jennifer Hart. And it worked, you know, but it's kind of magic. It kind of happens. It's something you can't say, oh, I put her with her. Sometimes it doesn't work. It doesn't happen. I mean, look at with Elizabeth and Richard Burton. I mean,
it obviously worked there.
Yeah, off screen. Mm-hmm. But on screen, it wasn't so much on fire, I didn't think. Did you?
And why do you think that was?
I don't know. It's just, it's in the air.
Well, you've worked with spouses.
Yes.
Some people think that's a bad idea. Maybe that was a bad idea with them.
Yeah, I know some people think it's a bad idea. I loved working with Natalie Wood, who is my late wife. And I mean, I just loved working with her. We had a joyous time. And I thought what we did, some of it was pretty good. You know, some of it, we worked on it. We worked on it very hard. And, you know, you just kind of hope that it happens. And then in that particular case, in that one picture that we did, it wasn't a very successful movie, but we had a very joyous time doing it.
You write that everybody always wants to know about Marilyn. How well did you know her?
Well, I didn't know her well, but I was with her when we all started at the same time. We were all young kids starting off. And she had a contract at Fox, and I was the test boy. I did both of her tests with her and then knew her later on. And she was just such a wonderful young lady. I mean, she was so great, had a lot of fun. She wanted to be a star, and she wanted to be in the movies, and she did it. And there's a lot of credit due to her for that, you know.
What about some of the others? Lucille Ball looks like she must have been a lot of fun to work with.
Well, I never worked with Lucille Ball, but I knew her.
Mm-hmm.
But I also understand that it could be not a lot of fun to work with her, because she was had her very own ideas and was very demanding, and a lot of people had difficulties, I think, working with her. I never worked with her. I knew her personally.
Didn't you name your daughter Katie after Katharine Hepburn?
I did, after Katharine Hepburn, yeah. And I'd met Katharine Hepburn through Spencer Tracy, who I had the fortune to do two movies with, and I liked him very much, and he was very, very kind to me and very good to me, and made a tremendous impression upon my life and changed my career really around. So where I
in what way did he just give you good advice?
Yeah, well, yes, and also he gave me co-star billing with him in a movie above the title. So it was Spencer Tracy and Robert Wagner, and that took me out of the pool of wonderful young actors who are around Hollywood, all good-looking guys who were all doing war movies. It was right after the war and all of that, and there was quite a few great guys, you know, around, and that lifted me out of that and put me in a different position, and I'm forever grateful to him, you know.
You've called the industry predatory toward women. Were you nervous when your daughter Katie went into TV?
A little bit, yeah. I was a bit nervous about it, but, you know, what can you do? You just, you can't do anything. You just have to rely upon the choices and the taste of what she might do, or... Well, and my daughter Natasha is also an actress. She's done some very good work, too.
Well, Well, they were forewarned because they had parents who were in the business.
Yeah, they're very
and they
much
probably a... heard all of the horror stories.
Yeah, there's been a few.
Do you have any advice for a woman who might want to get into film or TV?
No, not really. I just think that, you know, it's what you have in your heart and what the drive you have and the will, you know, the will to want to do it and to believe in it and to believe in yourself and have that kind of confidence that you can. I think women are more confident now than they were, I think. And
we're starting to see women directing films again.
Oh, yes, thank God.
They were there at the beginning of the industry, then for a long period, maybe Ida Lupino, and that might have been it for a while.
Ida Lupino's in my book. Mm. I write about her.
She was wonderful.
Yeah, she really was. Did you ever have an opportunity to interview her?
No, I've interviewed a lot of the other people you write about here. But she's one of those fascinating characters because I thought she was a terrific actress. Mm-hmm. And then she made a bunch of movies that I think are really underrated.
Yes, I do.
As a director.
I agree with you about that. And then she formed her own production company. And, you know, the movies didn't do that well. And she had a problem with the distribution. And, you know, one thing led to another. And... pardon me. And, you know, success is a great thing. If you make a hit picture and you're a hit, it can mean a lot of difference in putting together other projects.
Well, she was an early indie, in effect.
Yeah.
You spent 65 years in the business, and you write that you still love it.
Yes, I do.
So what is it? Is it the same?
No, I don't know whether... I don't think it's the same. It's changed a lot technically and what have you, but it... Leonard, I always wanted to be in the movies, and I was lucky.
Well, you grew up in the area. The kids who grew up in Los Angeles and Hollywood want to be in the movies automatically?
I don't know about them, but I can tell you, for me, I wanted to be in the movies, and I was, you know... I'd do anything. I worked as an extra. I started to get started. And so, you know, I was fortunate enough to be successful in this. I picked something that I wanted to do, which was very lucky, and I prevailed in it. I was lucky. I got breaks. I got working, and I've always wanted to do it. So I'm going to keep doing it until I can't do it anymore.
I can say that it wasn't just luck. And the pleasure you get from working in the film industry comes across in this book.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for talking with us about
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Robert J. Wagner's latest book, it's interesting that we say that, written with the help of Scott Eyman, E-Y-M-A-N, is I Loved Her in the Movies, Memories of Hollywood's Legendary Actresses, published by Viking. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Leonard. I've always enjoyed being on your show.